And of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthy magnify your holy name through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Most merciful God.
We confess that we are happy to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left unknown. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us.
Of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Thank you.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us pray. Beloved and sovereign God, through the death and resurrection of your Son, you bring us into your kingdom of justice and mercy. By your Spirit, give us your wisdom, that we may treasure the life that comes from Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. You may be seated.
Savior, still a refuge, take it to the Lord. trust you, precious Jesus, Savior, friend. And I know that you are with me, will be with me to the end. Oh, how sweet to trust in Jesus, just from sin and self to cease, just from Jesus simply taking life and rest and joy and peace. Life and rest and joy and peace.
A reading from 1 Kings. At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, "Ask what I should give you." And Solomon said, "You have shown great and steadfast love to your servant, my father David, because he walked before you in faithfulness, in righteousness, and in uprightness of heart towards you. And you have kept him this great steadfast love, and have given him a son to sit on his throne today. And now, O Lord my God, you have made your servant king in this place of my father David. Although I am only a little child, I do not know how to go out or come in. And your servant is in the midst of the people whom you have chosen, a great people, so numerous they cannot be numbered or counted. Give your servant, therefore, an understanding mind to govern your people, able to discern between good and evil. For who can govern this your great people?" It pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this. God said to him, "Because you have asked this, and have not asked for yourself long life or riches, or for the life of your enemies, but you have asked for yourself understanding to discern what is right. Now I do according to your word. Indeed, I give you a wise and discerning mind. No one like you has been before you, and no one like you shall arise after you." The word of the Lord. Thanks be. We will read the psalm responsively. Please read the bold print. Your decrees are wonderful, therefore I obey them with all my heart. Understanding to the simple. I open my mouth and pant, because I long for your commandments. Turn to me, gracious to me, as you always do to those who love your name. Order my footsteps in your word. Let no iniquity have dominion over me.
I will keep your commandments.
Let your face shine upon your servant, and teach me your statutes.
I shed streams of tears because people do not keep your teaching.
The second reading is from Romans. The Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we ought. But that very Spirit intercedes with sighs too deep for words. And God, who searches the heart, knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. We know that all things work together for good for those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, in order that he might be the firstborn within a large family. And those whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified. What then are we to say about these things? If God is for us, who is against us? He who did not withhold his own Son, but gave him up for all of us, will he not with him also give us everything else? Who will bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? It is Jesus Christ, who died, yes, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed intercedes for us. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will hardship, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all day long. We are counted as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Jesus Christ our Lord. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please rise.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus put before the crowds another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed that someone took and sowed in his field. It is the smallest of the seeds, but when it has grown, it is the greatest of shrubs and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and make nests in its branches. He told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed in with 3 measures of flour till all of it was leavened. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which someone found and hid. Then in his joy he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls. Finding one pearl of great value, he went and sold all that he had and bought it. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was thrown into the sea and caught fish of every kind. When it was full, they drew it ashore, sat down, and put the good into baskets, but threw out the bad. So it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come out and separate the evil from the righteous and throw them into the furnace of fire, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Have you understood all this? They answered, yes. And he said to them, for every scribe who has been trained for the kingdom of heaven is like the master of a household who brings out of his treasure what is new and what is old. Beloved children of God, this is the good news, the gospel of our Lord.
Thank you. may be seated. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. In the past couple months, in this congregation, we've had funerals, and in our own family, we've had death, so there's this certainly mourning and grief, and in all of those instances, I've encountered Romans chapter 8, and these two verses may sound very familiar to us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. As I said, I've been hearing that passage in the midst of the funerals that we've had here, and just this past Tuesday read Romans 8 at my wife's grandmother's funeral. Nothing in the world, not even death, can separate us from the love of God. And for me, that has become the gospel in a nutshell. I remember growing up, my mom used to say, John 3:16 is the gospel in a nutshell. But I think it's this Romans 8, 38 and 39. Because John 3:16, I think we make that to focus on what we're doing, our faith. But here in Romans 8, focuses on the love of God. Focuses on what God is doing. And how what God has done cannot separate us. That there's nothing we can do. And that's a good thing. That's good news. Because God has done that work for us. But I think the thing that plagues us as human beings is that love from God enough? Or do we continue to look for something more? What treasure do we seek? I just heard a story from somebody, from a hospice nurse, visiting somebody who had just been put on hospice. They had some regret in their life. They asked the nurse, "Do you know what a Thunderbird is?" The nurse replied, unsure, but a car? And they said, "Does it impress you to know that I owned one?" The nurse, pretty indifferent, not impressed either way. And they said, "I worked overtime to have that car. I just had to have it." And the nurse, trying to be affirming, said, "That's awesome that you got that car." And they said, "No." They thought so too at the time, but now they're approaching the end of their life. They're missing the memory of their daughter's dance recital because they were working overtime for that car. That car probably has rusty parts now, but their heart is missing that dance recital. This person wanted to convey to this nurse that we should not prioritize non-essential things over essential people. When we find ourselves chained to the wrong treasure, when God's love is not enough, the love and blessings that are around us that come from God just don't seem to be enough. And then there's that temptation that leads to greed. It drives to a feeling of competitiveness, to accumulate as much as I can, to see the material objects in the world as where I will find true treasure, where I place my heart and trust in to find fulfillment. And it just doesn't cause us to prioritize non-essential things over the essential things like the family around us, but even our neighbor and God. Those essential things that God told us to be concerned about are now considered non-essential because of the treasure we chase. God and neighbor are not essential anymore. The treasure that I look for, that is essential to my life. Idolatry creates injustice. And again, in this parable, like we had last week, the evil are being separated from the righteous, but it's clear that in this parable, we are not the ones doing the sorting. That is above our pay grade. Because we would sort people out for the wrong reasons in the same way that we sorted Christ out for the wrong reasons. When we do not believe that the inseparable love of God is good enough, we look to cast aside God's love from this world. We do not do the sorting But in response to God's love, we cast a wide net, embracing the diversity of humanity in this world to be caught up in God's love with us. Because when we are caught up in God's love, we cannot help but to share that love in hopes that others would be caught up in that love and experience the kingdom that is now and forever. We don't need to be worried about the sorting. Too many Christians in our culture are trying to sort people out. Listen to that parable of the mustard seed. The kingdom of heaven, it's even for the birds, right? Think about that saying that we have in our culture. It's for the birds. That's something that we can take to heart here in our context, demonstrating and embodying a kingdom without limits. Something that I found interesting, too, in the string of parables that we hear today, and Marcus Feldy points out, we have these parables about a treasure chest and an invaluable pearl. But one of them says the kingdom is like the treasure. The other says the kingdom is like the treasure seeker. Which is it? We're told to seek first the kingdom, but throughout the Gospels, who is doing the seeking? Who is the one that does the seeking? Who has come to save the lost in a dying world? When Jesus shows us the Father and a new way of being human, we do not believe the lie that some are worth more than others. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which someone found and hid. Then in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls. On finding one pearl of great value, he went and sold all he had and bought it. I can't help to think of the one who emptied himself for our sake. I can't help but to think of the one who took on our humanity in the form of a slave, only to be given up to death, a death he freely accepted. For the kingdom of heaven has now been established by the cross and empty tomb. That in this vast universe, where we can feel small and insignificant, our Lord says to you that you matter. In God's eyes, we are like a fine pearl. And faith in the one who has claimed us enables us to trust and grow in that promise today. That in the waters of baptism, our Lord has put a claim on our lives. And that this is the promise that we're told, that death cannot separate us from that love of God. This is why we are reminded of our baptism so often. Because it's a reminder of who you belong to. That the inseparable love of God is always with you. Even if it feels distant at times in your life. Even if it feels like it's not enough. The promise of our baptism is a reminder that we are that fine pearl in God's eyes. That we are buried treasure, for we have been buried with Christ and joined to Christ in those waters of baptism and rise with him daily to new life. Which is why I find hope this day in Romans chapter 8 and these parables as a bold proclamation of the gospel that doesn't focus so much on our faith, but the faithfulness of Jesus Christ. That in our sin, brokenness, despair, and grief, we do not focus on what we can do, but what God has done and is doing in our lives and in the world. That we live in a throwaway culture that can not only just disregard the needs of our neighbor, but to disregard our neighbor themselves. That we can say that this is all for the birds, and we can lift up this wonderful good news and the people that are pushed to the margins, and to say this is for you as we grow in faith and seek to get other people caught up in God's love. Jesus shows us the Father, and Jesus shows us a new way of being human. We follow Jesus. If we're caught up in the love of God in Jesus Christ, then we're going to love the things that God loves. We're going to love the pearls of this world. A world that says that those pearls are not worth having. A world that says that those pearls in this world don't belong. And often, too often, church and society says that those pearls don't belong. But when we embrace the gospel, when we are caught up in God's love, we say to those pearls, you are loved, you matter, you belong. Because we hear that promise whenever we are caught up in God's love. Washed anew and claimed in those waters of holy baptism, God constantly reminds us of that love poured out on the cross, saying to you, you're worth it. Our Lord continually invites us to the table for this meal with God's family of every time and every place to remind us that this is for you, that you are worth it. Beloved children of God, may we grow and share God's love that nothing, not even death, can separate from us, from this eternal loving God. That we can proclaim the good news of God's eternal loving faithfulness now and forever. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Let us say what we believe in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Are there any prayer requests? I do have two. My great aunt, Carolyn Lewis, she fell yesterday. She did break her hip, and she is in surgery this morning. And then my mom, Joelle and Braden, she is going to be having open heart surgery on the 7th of August. So please also keep her in your prayers. Confident that God receives our joys and concerns, let us offer our prayers for the church, those in need, and all of creation. Almighty God, we pray for the church and all servants of the gospel. Equip rostered and lay ministers to proclaim that nothing can separate us from the love of God and Jesus Christ. Form confirmands and catechumens into disciples. Hear us, O God. Gracious God, we pray for the well-being of creation. Safeguard the environment, clean polluted rivers, the lakes, preserve the mighty tree and the tiny mustard seed, and send advocates for sustainable practices. Hear us, O God.
Mercy, great.
Compassionate God, we pray for the nations. Instill in all who govern the ability to discern between good and evil. Free those who are oppressed, and protect those facing danger. Promote peace across the world and in our towns and neighborhoods. Hear us, O God. Merciful God, we pray for all in any need. Protect those fleeing from war. Shelter any who are in poverty. Clothe the naked. Soothe all who grieve. And heal the sick, especially Carolyn, Charlie, Justin, Tracy, Mike, Susie, Donna, Joellen, Carol, Mary, Pat, Dixon, the family of Alan's Florentine, Pat, Debbie, Candace, Cheryl, Barb, Audrey, Jerry, Phyllis, Dave, Ella, Donna and Melina, Cheryl, Rick, Janet, Lucas, Bill, John, the family of Vong Sornchai, Kelly, Mary, Diane, Carol, Frank, and all of our homebound. Hear us, O God. Holy God, we pray for this congregation, both those gathered today and those absent from our assembly. Grant safety to travelers and refreshment and safety for children attending summer camps or community programs. Give direction to any experiencing life transitions. Hear us, O God. Eternal God, we give thanks for Alice, Vong, and your saints who now rest from their labors. Inspire us by their witness to treasure the gospel and continually nourish us with your grace. Hear us, O God.
Into your hands, O God, we commend all for whom we pray. In the name of the one who reconciled all creation to himself, Jesus Christ, our Savior. The peace of Christ be with you all. Let's share with one another a sign of God's peace.
Let us pray. God of all creation, all you have made is good, and your love endures forever. You bring forth bread from the earth and fruit from the vine. Nourish us with these gifts that we may be for the world signs of your grace, gracious presence in Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. O God most mighty, O God most merciful, O God our rock and our salvation, hear us as we praise, call us to your table, grant us your life. When the earth was a formless void, you formed order and beauty. When Abraham and Sarah were barren, you sent them a child. When the Israelites were enslaved, you led them to freedom. Ruth faced starvation, David fought Goliath, and the psalmist cried out for healing, and full of compassion, you granted the people your life. You entered our sorrows in Jesus, our brother. He was born among the poor. He lived under oppression. He wept over the city. With infinite love, he granted the people your life. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering his death, we cry out, "Amen."
Amen.
Celebrating his resurrection, we shout, "Amen." Trusting his presence in every time and place, we plead, "Amen."
Amen.
O God, you are breath. Send your spirit on this meal. O God, you are bread. Feed us with yourself. O God, you are wine. Warm our hearts and make us one. O God, you are fire. Transform us with hope. O God, most majestic. O God, most motherly. O God, our strength and our song. You show us a vision of a tree of life with fruits for all and leaves that heal the nation. Grant us such life, the life of the Father to the Son, the life of the Spirit of our risen Savior, life in you, now and forever.
Amen.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Come to the banquet, for all is now ready. You may be seated. This time I'd like to invite forward those who are helping with the distribution of the sacrament and those participating in Children's Church. We will receive the sacrament kneeling around the altar, and usher will have trays of glass cups, and they will release you coming forward. Just take a glass cup as you come forward. We have both consecrated wine and grape juice. Our assistant minister, Lindsay, will have the chalice of consecrated wine, and usher will have a chalice of grape juice. Just indicate your preference when you're at the altar. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Christ is present here, and he offers himself to you. You have been filled with the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Go, tell the whole world of his love.
Let us pray. Gracious God, in this meal you have drawn us to your heart and nourished us at your table with food and drink, the body and blood of Christ. Now send us forth to be your people in the world and to proclaim your truth this day and evermore through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
The countdown is on and we're getting excited. This has been in the plan since last January. So when we get down to the 2 weeks to come, we're excited. Elva is going to be here, and we are excited to bring her talents and her artistry to you. Kids of all ages will enjoy her. And we ask you that you just come and just enjoy the fact of her inspiration and her artistry. If you've never heard a chalk talk is a combination of the art of drawing along with the art of storytelling. She will be here on Sunday morning. We will have our regular church service. After the service, there will be a catered lunch and fellowship while she is having a time to set up. And then at noon, we will start her program, which is Caring and Sharing. And I would surely invite all of you and friends and neighbors and whatever to come and share the inspiration and the artistry of this lady coming to us from Pennsylvania.
The date again?
The date is August the 13th. It's 2 weeks from today. She'll be here. She'll be here the 13th, 14th, and 15th, but it'll be actually here in the sanctuary on the 13th.
Thank you. As Christ sends us out into the world, let's recite the mission God has given us.
Setting the word, strengthening the sacraments, ascending the community, share the love of Jesus.
Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever.
Thank you. Go in peace. Serve the Lord. Thanks be to God.